been made by liquor licensing, and its director is Duncan Ord. He joins me on Perth Live right now. Duncan, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Oliver.
Why have you made this decision?
Look, Oliver, the Liquor Control Act was drafted by Parliament to license people to sell alcohol. So the Act is fundamentally written from the perspective of managing any harm that alcohol might contribute in the community. And as a consequence of the Act, it has provisions where the health and police can make representation to the Director of Liquor Licensing and ask for changes to conditions to liquor licensing to be applied in a particular area. They do that on the basis, obviously, of their own evidence and research on things like domestic violence, child abuse, hospital presentations, people with chronic health issues as a result of abuse of alcohol. There are restrictions in place in a number of places in the state, some of them through our agency's formal restrictions and some through liquor accords, voluntary agreements between liquor licensing entities like Northbridge has got certain different conditions that apply in various areas there to deal with particular issues that came up in Northbridge some time ago. So these aren't unusual. They've been in place in the Pilbara for some time, but we are tightening and strengthening those restrictions as a result of submissions made by those agencies.
So if you live in Karratha, Port Hedland, East Pilbara, Ashburton, you're going to be affected right across the Pilbara?
Yeah, it's Pilbara-wide. As I said, there's been restrictions in place in the Pilbara since 2003, and there hasn't been any trading in alcohol, in packaged liquor in Hedland for some time. So some of the conditions that are in Hedland have been applied in other locations, and restrictions that are in place in the East Kimberley, similar restrictions have been put in place in the Pilbara.
So this has been a decision made and submissions, as you say, by police, local governments in response to domestic violence, child abuse, crime, antisocial behaviour and the like?
That's right. So restrictions are not necessarily there for long periods of time. It depends. If the situation changes, then restrictions can be wound back. At this stage, these restrictions will be put in place with us monitoring with those agencies the outcome. We accept that if putting restrictions in place is not something particularly want to do. We're very supportive of the hospitality industry. And
why a blanket ban then, Duncan? Why does it have to be across the board and everybody's affected by this?
Well, the level of restrictions are largely about large volumes of liquor being purchased in takeaway in certain time periods. So we put a time restriction on when you can purchase. Clearly not having the ability to purchase on Sunday is intended for those people with a major drinking problem that are essentially consuming alcohol continuously whenever they get the resources to do so.
Sure, but it's a legal product, isn't it, alcohol? So we've got law-abiding adults, we've got FIFO workers and the like who will be coming in and out of the Pilbara. So why are they affected? Why not just use barring notices, for example, or those provisions that you've got readily available under the Liquor Control Act? You might have other mechanisms. You could have a court order. You could target problem drinkers. Why not do that? Why have a blanket ban that it affects everybody?
Look, the volume restrictions put in place enable us to target issues where it's very hard to identify the source of the alcohol that's getting to communities and who, in fact, is controlling that. We don't have the intelligence and the systems in place to identify individuals at this stage, although we are very keen on trialling a banned drinkers register, which would enable us to consider alternatives. But the Act largely was written with the intent of acting at the distributor level and changing the volume or the nature of and timing of when alcohol could be served. And so given that that's the way the Act is drafted at the moment, it's largely the tools we've got available to us.
Well, right now, a nightclub, for example, or a pub in Northbridge can ban somebody from entering their hotel or their nightclub. Why can't we just use something similar that we can ban somebody entering a licensed
premise? Because the people with the targeting that we're targeting for harm reduction are largely drinking outside of licensed premises. The management of licensed premises in the Pilbara in fact, right across the state, is excellent. And as you say, if people do the wrong thing, then the publican or the licensee has the power to ban those people. But that's not where these issues are occurring. They're occurring in people's homes, in the streets, in bush areas and
right, but surely you know who those people are, or the police know who those people are. Why is everybody affected by this, Duncan?
Well, as I said, it's not necessarily a question that we can identify the source of the liquor, and that could be purchased in one town and moved to other locations, resold, grog running's an issue and so on.
But under these new restrictions you're going to introduce, what's going to stop problem drinkers going to shop to shop, for example, and exceeding the daily limits?
Look, it's possible, although we will have increased policing around these restrictions, and if we find people doing that, then obviously we'll be looking at confiscating that alcohol. These type of restrictions that have been in place in the East Kimberley for some time, the volumes you can purchase on a daily basis, 6 days a week, so basically, 18 bottles of wine a week or 6 cartons a week, I think most reasonable people would struggle to get through that amount of alcohol. If you're having a major event like a 21st or whatever, you can apply for exemptions and so on. So we don't think the average punter, if you like, is going to be impacted. Really, it's about controlling volume and significant amount of volume that gets into some very vulnerable communities and houses.
And these are what, mostly Indigenous communities?
No, I mean, obviously the Pilbara's got a high level of Aboriginal representation in their population, but if you have a look at the statistics on health outcomes and others, there's a broad liquor problem in the Kimberley and the Pilbara, and that affects the whole community. So this isn't a racially targeted strategy.
You mentioned earlier this is about reducing harm, so there's going to be some restrictive conditions now which will be introduced on the sale of liquor in the Pilbara. What about how we have pubs in Perth now selling pints for $3?
Look, we constantly monitor strategies used by liquor outlets to promote the sale of alcohol. And as you know, individual licensees at times fall foul of our regulations. So we've got an active policing of liquor outlets right across the state. We've got an investigations team. And if we find people breaching the conditions of their licenses, then we take action. So people are fined. We at times can take action beyond that. So, it's not that there is a laissez-faire everywhere else and we're only applying, restrictions in the Pilbara. We're responding to the evidence given to us by the police that this is exceptional circumstance.
As the Director of Liquor Licensing,
do
you think $3 is too cheap for a pint of beer in Perth, anywhere for that matter? It doesn't have to be in Perth, anywhere in WA. Is $3 too cheap for a pint of beer?
Well, look, as a regulator, it's not really up to me to have opinions like that. But it's if the my responsibility is to manage the Act when the police come forward with concerns. So if they're not coming forward with concerns around, happy hours or something where pints might be cheaper, then I wouldn't be required to act in that regard.
All right, Duncan Orr, Director of Liquor Licensing. I'm after your feedback, 92211882. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you very much.
We'll go straight to Bullsbrook. Hi, Luke.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm good. You've been listening in. What do you make of all of that?
Yeah, I used to work up in the Pilbara in Wickham, and it was tough working up there. You hear a lot of things about child abuse in some of the communities. So, yes, I do believe that something needs to be done, but you have a look at some things like home brew kits. So people could go out and make their own if they really wanted to. So how do you control things like that? It's an interesting point.
It is an interesting point. Thanks, Luke. Bradley Woods is the CEO of the AHA here in WA. Bradley, you've obviously heard all of that conversation with Duncan Orr as well. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Ollie.
What do you make of the decision by Liquor Licensing to ban the sale of particularly takeaway liquor on a Sunday?
Well, it doesn't make any sense, Ollie. I mean, you asked the question in terms of targeting the individuals and not just the broad community restriction. And I think that is the real problem here, is that the restrictions are not being targeted against the individuals. As Duncan Orr just said, they don't know who is causing a problem in the community. Well, the police surely know who is committing the domestic violence. They know who is assaulting people. They know who are the problem makers within the community. These are the individuals that have got to be targeted. And I think this is something that sends a very concerning message to anyone living anywhere in Western Australia, because if it means, based on the police's submissions, the Department of Racing, Gaming and Liquor has pretty much ignored the hospitality industry's submissions defending its position, and they've applied these blanket bans. So it means if a particular suburb in Perth or a particular area of the state has a higher percentage of consumption more than another area, and if police statistics warrant it, we could see applications being made to shut down and restrict the sale of alcohol anywhere in the state. Because what makes it anywhere different to a particular northern suburb, eastern suburb, as it does just a particular country region or
And Bradley, for your members as well, and you know this, you can ban somebody from entering your licensed premises because they've been a menace, or there's a particular reason why they cannot enter that nightclub or they cannot enter that pub. So you can ban somebody from coming in. Why can't we ban somebody from walking into all takeaway liquor stores in the Pilbara if they've got a problem?
Well, the police have provisions under the Act, which are two provisions. One are barring notices and one prohibition orders. Magistrates of the courts can also apply conditions to individuals as part of bail conditions or as part of a judgment. There is absolutely plenty of pathways to actually bar and stop individuals from going onto licensed premises and to ban them directly. The state government is working on a banned drinkers register, which is great. I mean, unfortunately, it does take time to work through policy and to test these things, and it's going to probably be another year before we could see that operating. But in the meantime, this sort of sledgehammer approach to sort of, instead of using a fine chisel to target the individuals, is part of the malaise that we've had in the last 20 years. And it's why these problems have continued. No one doubts the problem, Ollie, that excessive alcohol consumption, recidivist alcoholics need support, they need intervention, they need counselling, they need all of the health services, and we need to see properly funded intervention services in the Northwest as well. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, should generally the community be subjected to the Sunday restrictions, no sales after midday, the restrictions on the quantities per day, even mid-strength beer has limitations on it. One of the more bizarre restrictions is not being able to advertise full-strength beer. Now, this is about brand competition, brand X versus brand Y, and they've said that has to be banned. They're not banning discounting, but they're banning the advertising of full-strength beer. That makes no sense at all. That is purely an anti-competitive measure that works against whether it's breweries or whether it's bottle shops or liquor stores being able to promote the fact they have XYZ boutique brand in the venue for a sale. It's not even about discounting it. And then on top of that, they've hit licensees with an additional range of red tape where they've now got to consolidate and collect all of their alcohol sales throughout the year, break it down into alcohol volume content, then break it down into the type of alcohol again, and probably end up costing between $10,000-$15,000 to hire someone at administrative level to put it and consolidate all this information together.
Businesses will go under.
Well, this decision is reminiscent of the 1980s and 1990s approach to liquor licensing. It's not consistent with a more dynamic and more consistent approach to dealing with targeting the issues and the problems. And I think Racing, Gaming and Liquor, or the department itself, need to move on. They need to get with the times, and they need to be able to focus and identify the problems, because we know who they are in the community. The police know exactly who they are, but this is a lazy approach. This is the approach that says, no, we're going to do the old clumsy way of just a total community ban as opposed to having to tackle the individuals that are causing the problems.
We'll open up the phone lines. Bradley Woods, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ollie. Cheers.
CEO of the AHA here in WA, do you agree? Lazy approach, a blanket ban affecting everybody in the Pilbara, or did liquor licensing have no other choice? Do you welcome the move? 9221 882, Perth Live at 6pr.com.au for your emails.